The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon. This is Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne N. Weathers, host of Conversation Unplugged with my co-host, Pastor Robert Johnson. What's going on, Pastor Johnson? How you doing today?
I am doing well. 12-2. I'm doing well.
Okay, I got two therapists on right now. I don't know which direction to take this particular radio interview. Should I just stick with the subject that we were going to discuss? Or should I take two therapists and just have them really deal with this post-traumatic stress I'm dealing with my best friend right now? Because right now we are totally at odds. I'm an Eagles fan and he is a Minnesota Vikings fan. And I really don't know what direction to take this. But I was always told, keep your personal business out your professional workplace. So I'm just going to just put that behind me because they might charge me and I need to keep my Christmas money and get gifts because Benita ain't going to accept the fact. She ain't going to accept the fact that I couldn't get no gift because I had to pay for therapy. Hey, how you doing, Reverend Dr. Ann Cawley? How you doing, Pastor Mike King? How you doing today? How the both of y'all
doing? Dr. Cawley, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we still cutting up. You know, can we all just get along? I guess the answer is no. Hey, we're getting ready to share this and everything. If you could just bear with me. Pastor Mike, if you could share a little bit about yourself, Reverend Dr. Ann Cawley, share a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get started.
Okay, I'm Reverend Dr. Michael Kane. I am a marriage and family therapist. I've been retired for a few years, but I've gone back into doing grief counseling and premarital counseling of late. Also pastor a church in Bethel, Millville, and in Trinity in Gouldtown.
Reverend Dr.
That's enough for now.
Absolutely. So, hi, I am Reverend Dr. Ann L. Collet. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist of 24 years. I currently run a private practice with seven therapists on staff. We are located right outside of the northwest section of Philadelphia. And so I'm just out here just trying to, I used to be an associate pastor at Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church. Under the Reverend Dr. Alan E. Waller. So,
well, good. Thank y'all for coming on Conversation Unplugged. There's so much going on in the world today. I just wanted just to announce, and I'll do this in a different setting. This is not what we'll be discussing today. But when I was at a black clergy meeting, I'm always checking the headlines as political action chair. And I saw that Fannie Willis was disqualified. Let me say this again. Fannie Willis was disqualified from being the DA for the election interference case that was brought against others, including now soon to be President 47 Donald Trump. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to move forward from here on out. But I just want to let everybody know that, yeah, she's no longer the district attorney for this case. And this will be talked about in another setting. And my laughter is not out of humor. It's out of frustration. But anyway, as we, move forward, There's an unspoken during a holiday, right? There's an unspoken during a holiday, and I pick it up in my personal life, and also as a pastor, I see it happening as a pastor as well. You know, everybody's singing Jingle Bells and, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly, right? And everybody is like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And there's a lot of seasonal joy that's going on during this holiday. But the unspoken, my brothers and sisters, and which God is allowing us to talk about today, the unspoken is not everybody is experiencing holiday cheer, but there are others that are experiencing holiday blues. And so around this particular time of the year, there are those who are going through what we call this holiday depression. And I really want to unplug that, not just to highlight holiday depression, but I have two therapists here with us on Conversation Unplugged that can give us nuggets and tidbits, or even you can utilize their service. How do we get through what we call holiday depression during this time of the year? The HCA, Houston Healthcare, says the following. It says, with the holiday season upon us, many people are gearing up to spend time with loved ones, indulge in holiday meals, but for some, the holidays might not be so merry. It's not uncommon for people to experience depression during the holidays for many different reasons. For those who are struggling or have loved ones who are struggling, it's important to recognize the signs of depression to help combat it. Starting with Reverend Dr. Ann Cawley, and then Reverend Dr. Mike King, can you just share with us your experience, your therapeutic experience with clients that you have, clients that you may have had, you can't mention a name or anything like that, you may have had that has been experiencing holiday depression?
So before we even get to just the holiday depression, I'd just like to talk about the seasonal, right? So that's a term we call SAD, which is seasonal affective depression. That is typically what happens around this time of year. And you've heard oftentimes we talk about how Alaskans have a high rate of depression because that part of the country does not get a lot of sun. Right. And during this time of year, we don't get a lot of sun and it's cold. And most of us or human beings get the majority of their vitamin D from the sun. Right. And vitamin D, what people don't realize, actually impacts a lot of our metabolic system. Right. So our energy level, how we feel, our nervous system. And so oftentimes what I will tell people just across the board is during the wintertime, take some extra vitamin D, right? It'll give you a boost because you're missing that from the sun. So just in general, right? I have to fight it myself. I hate cold. Literally, I would be okay with never going out from December to April. Like, I don't like the cold, right? So I understand how the impact of cold and lack of sun can impact someone from a personal standpoint. So that's just in general, right? People have a general idea or general affect or effect from just this time of year. So then when we move into other reasons, oftentimes the second reason people feel down around this time is grief. Now, the grief can come in a number of ways, but most of the time, because this is such a family-oriented time, right? Christmas and New Year's, and we're getting together, that the feeling of the loss of that loved one, they didn't have to necessarily pass away during this time, but it is the missing of that loved one, right? Whether it's your father, your mother, your brothers, your siblings, your children, right? This time just exacerbates that those feelings of you missing them, right? So there's that grief part. And then some of it is sad because my economic situation ain't as good as someone else's and everybody's talking about they buying this and I can't do that, right? So there's the material part of this time of year as well. So those are three areas in which we see. One, I ask people to take vitamin D just across the board. And then the other thing is I just have my clients as well as myself tap into their community, right? Making sure that they are reaching out and telling people how they're feeling, or pushing through and going to the activity, right? Because usually once you're at the activity, you feel a little better, right? And then praying, you know, I was praying. I was like, God, I just need some hugs. And then God sent people just to hug me. They were like, you look like you need a hug. And so, so I think for me, those are some of the things that I experience, as well as I understand what people are going through during this time.
Well, thank you, Reverend Dr. Crawley. Reverend Dr. Mike.
I just want to kind of add just a couple other things to what Reverend Dr. Crawley was saying, is that also during this time period, with the seasonal affective disorder, is there some people who are affected more because of the time change. You know, they're used to being outside. And again, the vitamin D kicks in, being out in the sun, being out with other people. And now when the time change occurs, people stay in the house a little bit more. They stay in the house a little bit longer. And that kind of, in some people, it leads to a point, a place of isolation for them. So we have to look into that as well, as when we're talking to someone who is experiencing depression on different levels. So we have to really start to, you know, unpack the reasoning as to why. The other piece is when during this time period, yes, you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've lost someone during this period, but usually if you've lost someone during this period, during this time period, it affects you even more, because now how do I get on without that person? I'm used to seeing that person at the table. I'm used to seeing that person laugh at different parties, or maybe that was a person that I went shopping with. Maybe that was a person, you know, that I shared a meal, an extra meal with during this time of year. And one of the things I try to tell people about that is, if it's your first year or second year loss, what you do is celebrate, and this sounds really, really cliche, but set a empty plate at the table for them. And sometimes that allows other people to be able to share memories. And that gives people it gives people permission to laugh. It gives people permission to cry. And during those time periods, it allows us to connect with each other on a different level. So when I look at that, I'm trying to look at the whole person as well. So just adding to some things that Dr. Corey is saying, I believe that these are other things that we should also look at, and then get people to identify those feelings and allow them to share their feelings. Allow them to give them that space to cry, give them that space to where, you know, I'm really upset, I'm really mad that so-and-so has left us so young or so old, whatever the case may be, because this was the connection I had with them and I'm going to miss that connection. So we don't know how to express it, but we have to figure out how to give people that space to express their feelings in a safe space, and then help them to rebuild who they are and rebuild the memories with that person. So as we rebuild those memories with that person, now what happens is they begin, yeah, okay, I will go to the family Thanksgiving dinner at this time. And it might be a chore just to get them out of the house. But as Dr. Coley says, once they're there and they're around family and friends, and if they're able to share and open up, it gives them that permission to just kind of, okay, I can let my guard down. I can let my feelings down because I'm around people who will also hear me and also take care of me as I'm going to take care of other people.
Wow. So this is what go ahead, Pastor Johnson.
No, go ahead.
No, what we're going to do is we're going to go on a station break on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. Then when we come back, we're going to start off with Pastor Robert Johnson. I know he was getting ready to chime in for the question and the comment, and then I wanted to follow up, and we want to continue on this journey, unplugging holiday blues, dealing with holiday depression. And we're going to also unplug a new acronym that I just learned, SAD, S-A-D, because there are many people who are, you know, going through this holiday smiling, but crying on the inside, or they're really going through but don't really understand the dynamics of why they are going through. And so this is a good way to plug this particular mental health situation so we can unplug it so folks can know what's going on that will help enhance their lives. Let's go on the 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. Good afternoon. We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. I am going to mess with my brother, Pastor Robert Johnson, and then he's going to lead off into either a question or comment. Pastor Johnson, I'll tell you what, if Minnesota, they have a basketball team, I might become a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, just the way the Sixers is playing right now. And, yo, Anna, Mike, I might call y'all because I'm going to have to get some therapy because I'm real traumatized by what's going on right now. And the process really is giving us some jacked up processed food. Pastor Johnson, hey, man, help us out. Help us out. Talk to us, man. What questions or comments did you have?
I have a question for both of you. It's a two-pronged question. As a pastor, as someone who pastors a church, who has experienced in my previous church a large amount of deaths around the holidays, and dealing also with being a pastor who served his home church, and these deaths affected me, Sunday school teachers, people who I grew up with, as well as family and friends. How should pastors, number one, cope with their own sense of loss during the holidays and be there for the people? And the second question of that is, how does the church help those who may be struggling?
Good question.
Widows and widowers who will have nobody this Christmas. Mm-hmm. Parents who have lost their children this Christmas. What is the role, do you think, of the faith community in the midst of helping people to deal with both sad and holiday grief? Whoever want to go first?
That is a great question. And a couple things come to mind. The first thing is, you know, one of the things that when I was doing inside ministry, I would constantly tell parishioners, we pastors and ministers are human beings, right? And so I think that it is very important that pastors are transparent, right? Because we're human beings. This calling, this vocation does not somehow elevate us above human everyday things that regular people go through. And so I think that it is, and through that transparency and vulnerability, what the pastor is teaching the congregation, that it's okay to talk about it, because so often we have this silence, suffering in silence. Oh, you're just supposed to have faith. And so, you know, it's seen as quote complaining, or you don't trust, or whatever that nonsense is, right? And so it's modeling, because the word says that we are to bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. The word says that we are to help each other. And so if I don't feel comfortable with helping you because you've put up this sort of superficial way of what faith looks like, right, then I suffer in silence. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that I know oftentimes we talk about, you know, the birth of Christ and what that means, but we don't also talk about what death means and how it impacts, right? We didn't talk about how it impacted those who are around Jesus when he was taken from them in the physical sense, right? And so having opportunities, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be moments from the pew, right, to or an altar call, right? Where you have people to be able to come down and pray in solidarity. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a church, right, your deacons, your ministers, they know who've lost. So then it's also the onus is on us to reach out, to be intentional, to reach out to those persons that we know who may be alone. Maybe you invite them over. Maybe you get them involved in something, right? And so, or maybe we have a community dinner to honor those who have gone on, especially if they were so integral to the church. So those are some of my suggestions.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. And I'm also, I believe in being very, very transparent with how I feel at times, but not so over the top, so to say.
Right.
Especially when I was grieving, like the loss of three very, very special people in my family, all within a year. And I needed a break. But it just seemed like there were certain people who just kept, oh, no, we need you to do this, we need you to do that. I'm like, no, I need to shut down. You know, I need to shut down and I need to figure out how to take care of me right now, because I can't take care of you if I can't take care of me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm hurting and I'm looking across you and I'm listening to you and your pain, I may not be thinking about how to help you. I may be unintentionally focused on my own pain. Mm-hmm. My own grief. So that's not helping you if I'm in that space. So we have to learn ourselves. We have to give ourselves permission to hurt. We have to give ourselves permission to grieve. We also have to give ourselves permission to say, you know what? And I just did this recently. People were calling me and I could not find my phone.
Wow.
I couldn't find my phone. So, you know, just being able just to shut down and do something for yourself. And that's really important for us. If we are going to be fully present with others who are hurting, we have to learn how to allow ourselves in that space. And I'll tell you, there's a pastor friend of mine from this area. I knew that his daughter had passed and I had asked him how he was doing. And he gave me all these wonderful words and all this stuff. And I stopped and I said, dude, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he opened up. And that's when we were able to have a conversation. I'm saying, I don't want to hear the church stuff. I said, you just lost your child. It's been less than a month and you're walking around like everything is great. So we do suffer in silence, but we have to, as you said, we have to learn how to not only bear each other's burden, but call each other out. Mm-hmm. So that we can open up to help each other. And that's how we begin to heal. And that shows the church, the members of the church. Because one person said, I learned how to take better care of me by watching how you took care of yourself.
Mm.
So we never know what our members are actually, what they actually see. But we model a lot of stuff. So now we have, during times like this, we have to learn how to model the correct thing for them. And even if it hurts, like, I don't know what, you know, we have to be able to let folks know, yes, I'm hurting and I need some time alone because, and you take that time to be alone. And then when you come back, you say, oh, by the way, I went to see a therapist. What? You didn't just pray? Yeah, I prayed. And God said, here's a therapist for you.
That's right. That's right.
That's something that you're saying about therapy. And, mm-hmm. and if you could, if I can, Dr. Weathers, could y'all both talk to our audience about and dispel the myth that therapy somehow is this taboo subject within our community, and that we should, if we even talk the word therapy, we're talking, excuse the vernacular, craziness, but the need for us to have therapy in order to keep the balance, if you will, of our emotional and mental state. Because I think that so many people have a myth about what therapy really is. And especially around this time, and I wish that we have talked about therapy and stuff like that during the COVID-19 pandemic, because that's when we really, pastors and I think everybody in America needed therapy after going through that. But as far as the African-American community, could you talk just a little bit about therapy? I know we got to go to another station break soon, but could you talk just a little bit about therapy in our community and how this particular sad and as well as the blues around the holidays, how therapy can help us? So, and I promise I'm done.
Okay. No, you're not. So the first part of that about therapy is it also helps us in our spiritual. So it helps us mm-hmm. our emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. So you can't omit the spiritual side of it as well. And so I always say this: a good therapist will walk with you on your journey. A good therapist will guide you. It's not going to tell you what to do, but it's going to show you how to do what you need to do based on the information that you give. So being open. So in the Black community, we have this thing that if I open up to someone, the first thing they're going to do, oh, you're crazy, your mother did it, your father did it, whoever. And then in the church, we turn around and say, it's because of generational curses. Well, a therapist doesn't even consider all that all at one time. What they're looking at is you, the individual on the other side of the table. And we're assessing where you are as an individual. The therapist in and of itself is, again, there to walk with you, to hear. We're listening to what you're saying, and we're listening to how you're saying things. And then we're throwing things back at you to see where you are and how to help you to move forward. So therapy to me is extremely important. And I know this from working in the, some of the groups that I work with, I'll just say in the North Philly area, where they will look at me and say, oh no, you got it all together. I'm like, no, I don't. You don't know where I came from. And once I tell them where they came from, that kind of opens the door, because now they say, okay, if you were able to get to where you are coming from where you were, how did you do it? And again, we as therapists, we open doors for people to be able to see their better selves. And we have to show them that it's okay to sit and talk to someone. Now, will every therapist be a good fit for you? No. And it's okay to say, to let that therapist know, hey, between you and I, this is not working. And even ask them if they can recommend someone else for you. And that helps, because now that therapist may have to go back and rethink how in their particular practice, how they hear and see you, especially in the minority community, we don't trust you folks anyway, as therapists, I'm saying. We don't really trust you, because you're going to tell us a whole bunch of stuff that just may not be true just to get some cash out of us. And I know you said you want to go to a break, and
That's fine, because we can, you know, I got the ability to override. So, no, you said a couple of things, and I just want to piggyback off of something Ann said earlier. But for full disclosure, Pastor Mike was my therapist. Yeah, he was my therapist. He took a break, which caused him to not only not be my therapist, but others as well. And I had to fight the stigma. You know, I had to fight the stigma. I tell the story all the time. And we're going to station break and we'll come back with follow-up questions. I remember when I finally broke down and said I was going to get a therapist. I tell it all the time. And, you know, my wife, Reverend Benita, whether she helped me and everything. And so say she came home from work, her boss had a list of African-American psychiatrists and everything. And so I said, I found a therapist. And she was like, oh, good, good. She was like, tell me about the therapist's background. And the person just had a certain degree. And she was like, oh, no, from what you are experiencing and everything, she said, you need a psychotherapist. And I was like, I'm not going to go see no psychotherapist. And she was like, Wayne, why would you not go see a psychotherapist? For me, you know, Psycho. Remember the movie Alfred Hitchcock with knife going through the shower and everything? Y'all think I'm cracking up? That's what I was thinking about. And I was like, my wife was like, why don't you want to go see a psychotherapist? I said, because I ain't crazy. You know, she says, crazy. Yeah, like the guy on Alfred Hitchcock stabbing a knife through the shower. And I was serious. And my wife busted out laughing. And she said, Wayne, a psychotherapist don't mean that you're crazy. It's just it's a specialized service that they provide. But see, when I saw that word psycho, I'm like, yo, no, I ain't that dude from Alfred Hitchcock movie. I'm serious. I was like, I am not that dude from the Alfred Hitchcock movie. And that's how I got to Pastor Michael Caine, because I got the best of both worlds, a psychotherapist and a pastor. So I got the best of both worlds. So we are going to get the best of both worlds right now, too. We're going on a station break. Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. But when we come back, the follow-up question I have for Ann is, when she talked about getting vulnerable, how do we tell churches or train churches to allow the pastor to become vulnerable? Let's come back after our 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. 30-second station. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. Welcome back to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, show host. Thank you. Someone hit me up on Facebook. It says, wasn't someone, I'm trying to couch, it was my wife, because I wasn't seeing the questions on Facebook. She says, as faith leaders, how do we separate transparency from bleeding on the people? What's the difference? That's a great question. How do we separate transparency from bleeding on the people? What's the difference? Which one of my therapists want to answer that question or be the first to provide input?
So let me jump in here. And it kind of goes back to, how do we normalize therapy, right? So as a therapist and going through my training, one of the things they taught us was called appropriate disclosure, right? And it's sort of the very same thing, right? How do you sit in front of a person as a human being? And there might be times when we have counter transference or there's a trigger in us and that we don't, quote, bleed on our clients, right? And one of the things that over the 24 years has worked for me is really, is this going to be helpful for my client? Why am I disclosing this, right? Am I disclosing this because I'm triggered? Or am I disclosing this because I think that this will be helpful to my client? And so the pastor has to ask the same thing. If me disclosing this will be an edifying moment for the congregation. So for instance, I work with several pastors around the city that refer most of their, so if they have parishioners who go to them for counseling, and then they realize, okay, this is above my pay grade,
right,
which every pastor needs to understand where their pay grade lasts, because y'all are jacking folks up, but that's another topic, then you refer out. So, but that pastor and his wife have been transparent in what it took for them to get to where they are, so that it has been helpful for the other couples and peoples, as well as the other people in their congregation, to understand what it takes to be married, not this, you know, Disney World aspect of what it takes to be married. And so I think that if what I'm about to disclose will be beneficial to the body of Christ and will help them move beyond this, it's for crazy people, and he's a big proponent of therapy, and to help them understand why it is biblical, when it is necessary, and how it'll work. That, I believe, is the difference between bleeding and then we also have to be honest that some of the things that we say from the pulpit is just not true. Like, we just need to be honest about that. I've been in church for my entire life. And as I've grown and gone to school and some of the things it's just tradition. Ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Mm. So we also need to be honest about that.
Hey, Pastor May.
And there are times when, you have people who are always talking about their past life, their addictions and all that kind of thing. And yet they ask, is this really helping someone or is this me trying to cleanse myself? Mm. Is this me trying to make myself feel good? As you said, is this going to help somebody in the congregation to realize that you don't have to be this way, but there are other ways out? Sometimes I've heard them talk about that, but I've never heard what they have done to free themselves of it. So if I tell you that, yes, I was doing drugs for 20 years and, you know, it messed up my life and messed my family. I was suicidal and all this kind of thing, but I don't tell you what I did to get myself together. Mm-hmm. What good is that doing for the person who's sitting in the congregation? How is that helping them? If I tell you I did all that and I hit rock bottom and, you know, someone introduced me to a therapist, someone introduced me to God, and this is how my journey to healing began. So sometimes we will just tell part, but we don't tell the journey towards healing. Mm-hmm. And people also need to know what the journey towards healing is, because now that gives them hope that if you can do it, I should be able to try. Mm-hmm. And if I can get the right help, then I will be as successful as you are, if not more so. So we have to be careful. And again, in our personal lives that we share with people, will this help them or not? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember one time sitting across from someone that I was in therapy with, that I was their therapist, and they told me a date. And, you know, they told me their birth date. And it didn't hit me till like a few seconds later. Wow, that's the same birth date of the person that I just lost 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I had to really get myself back together. But I shared with them, say, oh, you know what? I know someone else who's a really good person who had the same birth date. They never pressed it. They said, oh, okay. But then they went on with where they were. So I knew that was more than enough, because I'm sure they saw my face. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they saw my reaction when they, you know, pulled that birth date out of the air. So again, we have to be careful what we share, how we share it, and why we share.
Wow. This is some really great detail-oriented and deep information that the both of you are sharing. You know, sharing today. So there's a lot. Probably have to bring you back for a part 4, part 5, et cetera, because this is really a subject you can't really do in just 55 minutes. But yesterday I found myself, I want to share the narrative and then I want to ask a question. I found myself going down that rabbit hole. Last night, my wife and I, the routine is we would get the Christmas tree and then we would just let it sit, because our daughters, they were like, no, when we come home, we decorate the Christmas tree together because that's a tradition and everything. Well, I was like, man, this time we ain't getting the Christmas tree. Let it sit in the Christmas stand with no decorations until Monday. Christmas is on Wednesday. No, that ain't happening. And so I was putting up the Christmas tree. My wife had the music on. And then I look at the chair where my dad came to stay with us briefly, you know, because we're his caretakers. And I'm looking at the chair. And I'm like, Dad isn't sitting in there. Dad's still alive, but Dad's not sitting in there. And then we started decorating the tree. And that took me back to as a kid when I would decorate the tree with my mom. And my mom's in glory right now. And so here's the question. As we deal with, was a sad SAD during the holiday and everything, what would you say to those who are dealing with various challenges, mental challenges in the holiday? What could we say to them to stop them from going down that rabbit hole? Pastor Mike in there, and what would you say to that person about not going back down that rabbit hole?
Okay, I guess for me, I would look at it as what keeps me from going down there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that keeps me from going down that rabbit hole is remembering the good days, remembering the good times with that person. And it's funny you mentioned a tree, because that was something that we would, you know, put the tree up, and the next day the tree was always laying down because, you know, I didn't have it perfectly lined up and tied to the walls and all that kind of stuff. And we always laugh about it. And that I would think about little things like that will cause me to laugh and think of good things during this time period. Because during this time period, even as pastors, not only do we experience that we've lost loved ones in our own lives, but people don't realize that there are people in our churches that we were close to, that we may think about them during this time period. So we've got to make sure that we keep ourselves healthy, that we keep ourselves healthy mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And even when days like that occur, I try to find something about that particular person or a piece of music. I mean, I think about, there's a song that still, if I'm driving in a car, I have to find a place to pull over if I hear that song. If I can't get it off the radio fast enough, I have to find a place to pull over because it is just emotionally overwhelming for mm-hmm. me. But in that time of sitting, it gives me that time to reflect on the memories of that person, the love and the closeness that we shared and little memories. And then it just turns into a smile. I'm able to, you know, to move on after that.
Thank you for sharing, Pastor Mike. Reverend Dr. Cole.
I think I'll just add this part, and that I think it's okay to be sad. Mm-hmm. I think it is unrealistic to tell people they're just supposed to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being sad, because God gave us emotions, and God gave us emotions so that we can feel them. Where the issue comes in is that when we continue to ruminate mm-hmm. and get lost in those emotions. Mm-hmm. So I say, if you're having a moment of sadness, right, lean into it, feel the loss. Mm-hmm. But then, as Reverend Dr. Keene said, then switch over to the joy, mm-hmm. right? What was it like when they hear? What was it like, you know, find some things to laugh, find some things to think about. But I'm okay with people feeling sad. Like I think, because if we think about this world, that is the problem that we're having in this world now. Everybody is trying to avoid, quote, negative feelings, right? They're not negative feelings. They're feelings that human beings have. So I wanna get high. I wanna take Percocet. I wanna get a gummy. I wanna smoke, whatever it is, we're running away from the feelings. Mm-hmm. But the feelings are there to tell us something. It's not about running away from them. It's about appropriately sitting with them. But this is also what therapists help you to do. Mm-hmm. Therapists help you to sit in the emotions in a positive manner so that you can feel them, but not drown in them, mm-hmm. right? So that you can then have those moments, think about it, and then say, you know what? This was a moment that I needed. Mm-hmm. And now I'm moving on to think of more pleasant thoughts about my loved one who's passed on.
So wow. Can I add just one other piece of what you're saying is that there are times in the church, we don't give people permission to sit with those emotions, because those are things that are hurting. Those are things that they're ripping you apart on the inside. But guess what? As you begin to, you know, sit with those emotions and allow yourself, give yourself permission to do that, as I call that get down in the dirt, ugly cry, mm-hmm. where you just allow the tears to flow for a minute. Eventually, as those tears are slowing down, now you get to that place to where, wow, I remember when. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son, he sent me this picture of this tree, of his Christmas tree. And I sent him a note back. You know, that's a really small tree because we always had these huge trees. Well, this tree is huge. I always said, this is a really, he said, you know, your brother would like this tree because it's too small. What's your problem? But again, that instead of me looking at that and then reflecting on loss, I turned it into a moment of laughter. Mm-hmm. And they laughed along with me because they knew the size of trees that we always got, which was like, you put it in a corner, you put it in between the two windows, you get wires, you tie them along to the baseboard on the windowsill so that they won't fall over in the morning.
Wow.
But we have to give ourselves permission, but we also have to learn how to give other people permission to express their grief in their own way.
Right, and that goes back to making sure that you understand what the Bible says. The Bible is clear that lamenting and being sad is fine, and that it is not antithetical to having faith, mm-hmm. believing in God. It's all of the above. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're going to bypass the 30-second station break. We have like 9 minutes left. Pastor Johnson, I know you want to chime in.
It's important. I think that we understand. Just for a point of reference, I lost my mom on Thanksgiving Day, the day before Thanksgiving, some almost 30 years ago. The most beneficial thing to me at that time was that I allowed the congregation to minister to me. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful, wonderful person who came to me and said, "We're going to minister to you." Hmm. And when I tell you, they locked me out of the church.
Wow.
They locked me out of the church so that I could take the time. And I remember that Mother's Day breaking down in the midst of the service. Hmm. And everybody gave me permission to be sad. Now, that was in seminary. Come when I got to Philadelphia and I had larger churches, I was chastised for showing emotion.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Around the death of someone who was very, very close to me, very close, almost like a mother. And I was chastised for being sad. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Ann, I really appreciate the fact that you're giving us permission to be sad. Mm-hmm. And to grieve. And Dr. King, I'm really grateful to you for saying that it's okay to seek somebody to talk to in the midst of that. Because so many times pastors and parishioners are out on the island by themselves, mm-hmm. and no one gives them permission to be sad. Even 30 years later, when the turkey is being cooked and having that moment, to just say it's okay to be sad.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Johnson, thank you so much for saying that. And I hope you post that on Facebook. Like, more pastors need to hear that. Mm-hmm. More pastors need to understand, because this goes back to what I'm saying, that what's biblical and what's traditional, right? And this misnomer that you could be chastised for having an emotion around a grieving moment, that there's some doctrine in that church that is incorrect. And we have to start reteaching our parishioners correct theology, right? That is wrong theology to say that a pastor's not supposed to grieve. Mm-hmm. God is not in that. God is not in that.
Even Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm. Was disappointed, upset, turned over some tables. Last time I checked.
It was in that book. You know, it is in the book.
No, the book for all three of you, it takes me back to a time. Johnson, I'm with you, man. In a previous pastoral setting, my aunt passed away. My dad's sister, she's like a second mom, and I'm grieving hard, man. I mean, it was hard to embrace. And one of the members happened to be one of the associate ministers as well as an officer, basically chastised me. It was the craziest shenanigans I've ever heard. It was like, you know, you the pastor. And if they can't see, if they see you grieving, right, how can folks see hope when they don't see no hope in you? Crazy. That was the craziest shindiggity that I've ever heard, you know? Yeah, I just say if you put it like that, it was the greatest, man. It don't sting anymore. But how dare you? It's like the double standards. You can grieve, but the pastor can't. You know, you can have your moment of tears, but there's a lack of faith if the pastor it shows his tears. That's a whole nother subject. Yeah,
it is. I just got to the point. I just don't care no more. If you're close to me and you're in my presence, I cry. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. But if I don't get it out that way, it's going to come out another way. It's going to come out a negative way because I'm keeping stuff bottled in. And that within itself brings in a whole nother problem.
Mm-hmm. So let me just share this quick story. Bishop Vashti McKenzie, years ago, we were at a conference, and she preached on the subject, Every Drop of Good. And somewhere in the middle of that, she started talking about how pastors are on call 24/7. Mm-hmm. But what people, the members of the church don't realize is that pastors have families, and they're going through stuff in their own families. And what has shut some pastors down is that they try to let their parishioners know what's going on. And again, you get that negative pushback. And her words were this: there are people who think that we as pastors, all we have to do is go to the foot of the cross, lay our head on Jesus' lap, and we can get up and we're fine. Mm-hmm. That's not, she said, there are days when we don't want to be near Jesus' lap because of the pain that we have. Mm-hmm. We need to heal ourselves. So in that moment, I listened to what she was saying. I said, you're right, because in the church, we tell folks, just pray about it, you'll be okay. And what she was saying is, no, you don't have to just pray about it. Get help that you need in order for you to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay. So that's the short version of the story, but it's just those little pieces where people think, all we have to do is just go lay our head on his lap and we pray, and Christ will just minister to us and we get up and go. But again, the pain is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Pastor Johnson said, suppose we start using negative things to heal our pain. The pain is still going to be, is once that alcohol wears off, that pain is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be worse by the time, you know, once it wears off, it could be worse. So it's better to deal with that than to try to cover it up and then deal with it later. Let's deal with it now while it's fresh, while it's raw. But deal with it with people that not only that you can trust, but people who see you as a whole human being, and they want to walk with you and allow you that moment of grief. And allow you that time of remembering someone, allow you that time to reconnect with life. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Let me just add, right, Vera K. Ballard Dobbins out of North Carolina, we were classmates at Chester High, class 85. She chimes in regards to the pastor showing transparency, and she says, but if we see you have problems, lets us know pastors are real. And then she goes on to say, I need to know as a member that you really know what I'm going through if you show that you went through it. It creates the transparency. And so we got about a minute left. We got a minute left as we close out. This is a subject, man, we can just go on and on. And Johnson, you got Baptist tendencies also, because we can just go on and on and everything. what words of encouragement, 30 seconds, Reverend Dr. Ann Colley, then Reverend Dr. Mike, and we're going to close out because there's another show coming on right after. What kind of encouragement can we give those who are going through SAD? And can you give the acronym for folks who know what we're talking about? again.
You're muted.
You're muted. Oh. There you go.
Seasonal affect. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Yes. Hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm sorry. I went into my therapy voice. Went to that therapy voice. Seasonal affective disorder, SAD. And so what I think I would leave with your audience today is be compassionate with yourself. Have grace for yourself. Rest when you need it. And ask for help. Reach out.
Thank you.
There you go.
The music is playing. It means
practice
it's time.
Practice self-care.
We got to unplug so we can plug back in for our next show. Reverend Dr. Ann Colley, Reverend Dr. Mike Keene, and Johnson, you're going to cry when the Eagles beat y'all in the playoffs. But let's go. God bless each and every one of you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. God bless each and every one of you. Take care.
All right.
Be blessed. Take good care.